Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tennell, for today, January 25th. Joining us today would be Marietta Carter-Narcisse and makeup artist Cynthia Jones. We're going to talk travel and how to pack for traveling. But first, before we do that, I just need to remind you that our call-in number is 914-803-4399. Again, that's 914-803-4399. And I'm going to hand it over to my sister Denise. She probably has some news for us.
I have a little bit of news tonight. Just wanted to let everyone know about a new show that's going to be airing on the Sci-Fi Channel starting on Wednesday night, this Wednesday, January 26th at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 p.m. Central. It's a show called Face Off, and it's all about how sci-fi special effects makeup is done. So if you're interested in that type of makeup, please be sure to check that show out. Again, it premieres Wednesday, January 26th at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Sci-Fi Channel. And if you want to go check out like a little trailer of the show, you can go to www.syfy.com/shows/face_off. That's syfy.com/shows/face_off. That's Wednesday night, January 26th at 10 p.m. And I believe we have Cynthia Jones on the line who's going to give us a few tips about how to condense your makeup kit. She seems to be the pro on that. So, Cynthia?
Hi, ladies.
Hi, Cynthia.
How are you?
Good.
Good.
So you have some tips for us
I do. Because I go to set, you know, time after time, and I see these humongous bags and all these products, and it looks nice, but keep it at home. It's too much. You're taking up space, especially when we have to share space, and it's taxing on your back. So I have a few condensing tips. Starting with in purchasing, it doesn't have to cost a whole lot of money to condense your kit. I do suggest buying small clear bags, plastic bags, empty palettes and stackable jars, lip palettes, you know, taking your lipsticks and, of course, properly sanitized with our spatula and, you know, scraping our lipsticks out and putting them in the palettes, stackable jars. We can get those palettes, the small bags, the stackable jars. You can go to Nigel's if you're, like, in L.A., or online, mondastudio.com, or you can go to Alcon, Target, Walmart. They're good places for those hanging bags as well as the container store.
Yeah.
Those are great. Space savers when you're on set because you can just hang them on the table and just unzip as you go. So, like, if you're working in a small space, I know sometimes as a freelancer, space is limited, so I can actually pull out everything in my kit by having those hanging bags. Also, it's important, you know, so many companies nowadays have eyeshadow refills, that's a great way, you know, getting away from the compact eyeshadows for those that are still using it, to go to the refillable ones. So many companies have them. And I know for so many years you had Max 15 eyeshadow refillable palette. Well, we have the Z palette now, which can hold about 27 or 28 small eyeshadow, eyeshadow refillables. Makeup Forever has an empty magnetic palette as well. You can also depot those shadows in the compact, but you have to be careful with that because you can get it to separate.
Let me ask you, Cynthia, about that Makeup Forever. Let me ask you about that Makeup Forever palette. You know, it holds a lot of shadows, but I particularly don't like it when it comes to travel.
Okay. I don't have it in my kit.
Okay. I don't like it when it comes to travel because when you, you know, get where you're going and you pull your palette out, everything is all on, the shadows are all on top of each other. Some of them are broken. Like, if they can find a way to keep them down in that palette, it would be a great palette.
You know, an option to do, because I'm trying to remember the company, but this summer at IMAX Pasadena, I purchased this humongous palette, and I was so excited about it, you know, with I could put all my eyeshadows in it, blushes, everything that was refillable. And I, when I opened it, it would, you know, slide and whatnot. But what I did was I took some bubble paper, bubble wrapping, stuck it on the inside of it, and closed it up. And so it wouldn't shift anymore. So that's an option that you can do if anybody does have the Makeup Forever magnetic palette already, so that you don't have to get rid of it. Kind of stuff it to keep it, because that is important. We travel a lot, you know, we go back and forth, up and down the roads, whatever, up and down stairs. So we do want to be careful with our products because they cost, and, you know. So, that's a great thing to know, though. That's a great thing to know. Because I don't have that palette, but I've heard rave reviews about that. Some other options, just like the eyeshadows, you can condense your blushes that are refillables. You have so many out there. The Femme is a very popular one. It's pigmented. Or I know Illusions Cosmetics has refillable blushes as well. Also, I mean, you can use lip tars from OCC for blush. Just ways of condensing, you know, not putting absolutely everything, because you really, when you look at what's in your kit, you have a lot of duplicates. You really look at it.
Especially when it comes to eyeshadow.
Yeah, especially eyeshadow. You know, between the pigments and this and that, you can come up with the same thing with a pencil. You know, you can really cut back on what we carry.
So basically, also, finding products that you can use that has more than one purpose.
Correct. Getting small bottles instead of carrying the actual brush cleaner container, or, you know, I see a lot of that. See these 2 ounce, 3 ounce bottles. Like, what is going on? Condense that. It could be a 1 ounce bottle. You're not going to go through that much brush cleaner.
That's true.
I mean, you know, when you really look at, like, if you're spraying, let's say, a Perry and Spirit on set, you're not going to go through that whole bottle by spraying in a week. I mean, you do have the smaller containers that you can dip and you clean out or whatever. But, you know, just like you go home, you clean your brushes, you can always refill at that time as needed.
Right.
So just condensing, you know, your alcohol, I mean, all this stuff is very needed when we're on set, you know, for sanitation purposes, but it's just taking less because you really don't need a 5 ounce bottle.
And right.
I see that a lot.
Well, Cynthia, let me ask you this.
Huh?
So as you know, my sister gave me the Zupa Pro for Christmas.
Come on over.
And, And I wasn't even thinking about another Zuka bag because I just recently, this past June, bought the backpack. So
right.
She bought me this bag, and I was so excited. And I even called you the night before I flew off because,
yeah.
You know, I was trying to figure out how I was going to carry on the Zuka and carry on something else and only pack one bag. Tell us how you pack your Zuka Pro. And I must say, I'm so happy to have it because it's a lifesaver when traveling.
It is so wonderful. I took it to the Bahamas. I took mine to the Bahamas, and, you know, it was perfect on the plane. I didn't have anything that I checked in. I made sure all my bottles were under and out. I had clothes, everything, and makeup for my bride. So
mm-hmm.
I was definitely set. As far as my Zuka Pro, that is my main makeup kit. I have absolutely
okay.
everything in there. It fits all my brushes, and I have a million brushes. That I probably won't cut back on. But I have a lot of brushes. I carry about two. I don't use all of the Zuka bags that come with it. I only use the two large ones.
Okay.
I have two stackable bags that I put in there that are filled with makeup that are fold, you know, they hang and they fold down.
Mm-hmm.
And what else do I have in there? I have two vessels from Kat Cosmetics. One I can keep clean brushes, the other one dirty brushes. And my whole kit's in there. Now, the only thing I will say that is not in there is my airbrush kit. But
okay.
It's real small. No. You can cradle it. Mm-hmm.
Do you have room in the musical theater airbrush?
Honestly, I could because I'm all about condensing.
Right, right.
I could. I would have to shift some things around or take something out. But, like, if I took out one of the rolling bags, one of the hanging bags, I could put my airbrush kit in there. I've tried it before. And even last
right.
week, I condensed my kit again, and I put, I think you all saw the pictures, I put all of my makeup in my Zuka book bag, minus the brushes. Everything fit in there. Foundations, loose powders, shadows, you name it, it was in there. Now, it's so many ways you can get around not carrying absolutely everything. You know, using those stackable jars that we see,
right.
you know, you can get from Alcone and for those that live in the Maryland, D.C., Virginia area, you can go to Kinetic Artistry. There's so many places online, and I just depot all my creams, and I stack them in there. I depot from my smaller stackables. I have my pigments in there, loose powders for the slightly larger sizes, and it's absolutely everything I need. It's not a whole lot of, you know, foundations. You know, it's not like 55 of them.
Right.
But I'm probably, out of those three stacks of creams, I probably have about a total of 20 foundations.
Well, especially when you're just doing like a one-day gig here or there or, you know, one or two days.
Right. And even the last week or if, you know, if it's a consistent job every day for that week, or if it's a lot of clients on that one day, it'll still work. And like I said, when you go home, you can always refill what you feel is low.
Right.
Right.
You know, but at the end of it, uh-huh.
No, I was going to ask Marietta, what does she think about all of this?
I've always done that. I consolidate stuff because, like, for my set kit, I always would take all the cream foundations and put them in stackables and label everything. That would just be a routine for me to create a set bag. And all my lipsticks, I melt them down and I put them in stackables, put them in the microwave, melt them down. So that, because I like them, I have issues. I have got OC, kind of obsessive compulsive issues. So I would melt them down and if they, you know, and I've always consolidated my powders. I put in the little 1 ounce jars, or I put them in stackables, depending, because sometimes the stackables can loosen up, and then you have a disaster with powders. So the
right. powder
I would put in little the twist top jars, so I could just open and pour out my powder. You know, the little they're not jars, the little bottles, the twist tops, the little red twist tops that you just open it up and squeeze out.
Right.
So I would put my powder in there, you know. I also used to put my powders in salt shakers. So salt shakers work great. I'm always consolidated stuff. But, you know, the film makeup artists are you feel helpless. It's like your security blanket when you don't have a whole lot of product.
Right.
You know, and stuff. But moving around, I have a consolidated kit. But going on to a show, I always brought in a ton of product because I supplied, you know, whatever.
Right.
But it's a good idea to consolidate everything so that you know what it is. I have a Japanese palette that is amazing. It's just a big, flat palette, probably about 16 by 8.
Uh-huh.
And on one side is eyeshadows and blushes and all that, and then on the other side is foundations. And I use it when I do trade shows and stuff, when I lecture.
Yeah, I remember that.
Now, Cynthia, Marietta's palette that she's speaking of is about, I believe it's about the size of that palette you were talking about earlier that you didn't keep.
The really large one?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I believe it's about that size, if I remember correctly.
I couldn't find it back in my life. Like, it's been sitting on the shelf for a while. You know, sometimes I buy things, I try it out, and I'm like, I think I'm going to commit some more. But I want to find a way to bring that back out, and I believe I will. Take that and, you know, a book bag.
Right.
Mac used to have, and they don't make them anymore, but Mac used to have a backpack and a briefcase.
It was horrible.
Huh?
Yeah, that backpack was horrible.
The backpack was horrible.
I actually use that backpack quite a bit for traveling.
I traveled with that backpack one time, and the straps broke.
The straps were good, but the concept was good.
The concept was excellent.
The concept was good because I could stuff quite a bit of things in there. Then I also had this other pack that was from, I saw Paul, I was on a plane going to New York, and I was on the same plane with Paul Starr, the late Paul Starr. And he had this great backpack with a sort of a false bottom. And I fell in love with it, and I actually went back to L.A. And I called the store up that had it. I forgot the store name, and I got it. And it was just, like, really great for traveling. Because I can put so much stuff into it and just the Ziploc bags and separate everything, and it was a fabulous bag to travel with.
Yeah.
And
you know,
still have
it? I don't know where you would find that now either.
You know, Krylon has one. They have a backpack. I just saw it the other day.
Oh, that's relatively new, isn't it?
Yeah.
Gotta check that out.
Let's admit it. We're just bag ladies in training, always looking for the perfect bag.
Exactly.
Well, I like the backpack from Zooka.
I have to look at that again because I've been looking at their stuff too. But, you know, it's like we're always trying to find the right thing. And, you know, I mean, and some days I just go for the just plain old Ziploc bag.
Maybe what's right for us for this, you know, next 6 months, and then 6 months from now, something else will come about, and we change all over again. Get some more,
I actually like consolidating in the stackable because I find that works really great as long as you label everything and know what everything is, you don't need to walk around with two dozen, like, RCMA foundations in the full size. You don't need them.
Right.
You don't use that much.
Right.
You know, so you consolidate them. It works so much better. And, I mean, I could find that I can put so much stuff in those stackables, and I would separate my stuff by warm and cool and light and dark and all that. And I had so much stuff, and I did it for my, especially for my my set bag, because then I would have everything to do any accidents or anything on set. I was always ready, more so than anything else. But I found I just kept, especially, you know, because most of my career was films, especially doing a film, I just kept the big containers in the trailer, but I always had consolidated set bag with everything that I needed, including miniature files and stuff, you know? I think that that's, you know, and as long as I kept it organized and in clear plastic that I can see it, it was always easy to find. And I agree with you, Cynthia. You don't need a gallon of brush cleaner when you're working.
No, you
don't. Right. Put in a small container and spray, and if you spray, you use less. The same with toner, things that are liquid. You don't. If you put them in spray bottles, they last a lot longer than pour bottles.
Right.
You know, creams and stuff.
The more you use.
That's right. That's
yeah,
right.
You know, I agree. You need to consolidate stuff. You have to, because we get overwhelmed. A lot of products, again, they duplicate. You have five lipsticks, five different brands in the same color pretty much.
Right.
Right.
No
yeah.
point.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Cynthia, for your tips. We appreciate it. You know, we're gonna be calling on you some more to do some other stuff. So, don't think this is the last time.
I know you guys. Not a problem.
Good. So, Marietta,
tell us a little bit about what we need to do or how to prepare for traveling internationally.
Okay, travel. Now, I'm a fanatic when it comes to certain things, so. Before I travel, I like to get organized, because I find it's a lot easier to pack when you're organized. So it's hard for somebody to start packing without having a system.
Mm-hmm.
So I am one of those that I go through, I make a checklist, and then I go through everything on my checklist, starting with, you know, clothes. You want to find out the weather, et cetera, where you're going, you know. Your kit, you know, once you know your script, then you know what you need to get. Then your personal items that you need, medication, all that type of stuff. Because don't take for granted that you're going to be able to get those things when you get there. So I always, you know, you find out where you go. You do a little bit of the research as to where you're going to be going. Okay, for example, let's just pick a place. Okay, I've worked in Canada. I've worked in Cairo. I've worked in Jamaica. Let's see. Okay. Let's start with Canada.
Yeah, let's pick Canada.
Okay, so I went to Canada, but again, you're not working in the United States. You're going to a country, to another country, pretty much. So when I worked in Canada, one of the first things was I wanted to know where I was going to be. And I got a whole list of places that were within proximity to the production office. So I, because I have a family, I had a kid at the time, I wanted to know, number one, supermarket, laundry, you know, things of that nature. I wanted a place that was within proximity of the closest children's hospital and pediatric facilities. Those were things that were important to me. So I made my list. As the production company can usually give you guidance as to where things are, you know, because you're someplace that you don't know the custom, you don't know anything about the country, so you want to know grocery stores, laundry, you know, maybe a place you can rent movies, you know, taxis if you don't have a car, all those things, how you can get around. So the production company is a good lead for that. So once you've got that sorted out, you know, you've pretty much got, if your deal is all sorted out, all of that stuff should be kind of in your deal memo as to, you know, how you're going to get there, if you're going to have a rental car, you know, pretty much all the things that you need to function should be in your deal memo. When it's time to pack, a lot of times if you're going out the country, your things have to clear customs.
Mm-hmm.
So your work and equipment needs to clear customs, especially if you're doing hair. So, and you have a lot of electronic stuff. Now, the big problem is when you're clearing customs with product, countries are concerned about what you bring in, and if you try to sell those things and not pay duty on them, that's a problem. So they always want to know what you're bringing in electronically, and whatever you bring in electronically, you also have to take out. So when you're going out of the United States, everything that has to clear customs, everything you're taking out is pretty much listed in what is called a carné or a manifest. And that your manifest needs to include what the product is, the country of purchase, the dollar amount, and the purpose of the item. And whatever goes in has to come back out. So you have to list all this stuff, and usually a copy is sent ahead so that whoever's clearing production through customs, they have your information so that it's clear, and this is usually done prior to your arrival so that you can have your items out of customs when you do arrive. I like to go through my checklist and make sure that, you know, all the things that you take for granted here in the States that you can get, and they're available to you in the country you're going to. So when I went to Canada, because it's like the United States in a lot of ways, except it's British, it's not American, I tried to make sure that all of those things were in line. Everything was in sync. I knew what I was packing, how I was packing it. Also, you're only allowed, especially with all these new travel regulations and stuff, you have to make sure that you know how many suitcases you're allowed and that the production company is going to pick up the tab for any excess amount of stuff. So you really have to consolidate. Again, like Cindy said, you consolidate a lot of stuff. I consolidated, you know, when I pack, if I'm going out the country for 4 months, I don't pack for 4 months. I pack for 2 weeks because you then repeat everything, that basically, because there's laundry. You do laundry, so you repeat everything. You make sure you have the proper clothing to deal with the weather that you're going into. I know, for example, I went to Canada January 2nd. Well, hello, freezing. I knew that I was going to be working in minus weather. So I knew I needed gear to sustain me in that kind of weather. Coming from Southern California at the time, there was no way that I would have been prepared for that kind of weather. So all of those things you have to take into consideration. Real, real important. You know, travel, you know. When you get there, I know Canada, cold, working at night in the mountains of Ontario. I know that I needed a four-wheel drive vehicle because you're driving in weather that you're not used to. So I needed a four-wheel drive vehicle to drive in that kind of weather. I also knew that I needed subterranean parking, underground parking, so that to go to work at with a, you know, a 4 o'clock a.m. call, I didn't have to get up at 1:30 in the morning to go outside and shovel, first find my car in a snowdrift, and then shovel the car from under the snow and then heat it up for another hour. So I knew that that was important. I knew that I needed some place where I could park the car on the ground so that I wouldn't have to deal with the snow.
Right.
So those are things that you kind of take for granted and don't realize that you really have to look at those things when you're going into inclement weather.
Right.
What else? And stop me, you know, from talking too much too fast.
No, you're good.
I know that it was important to make sure that my manifest made sense, because when it cleared customs, I knew that, you know, if they had questions, it was self-explanatory. And I'm an organized packer, so everything that I packed, pretty much I kind of photographed as a group before I packed it. I listed everything as I was packing it so that I would have to try to figure it out. If you're shipping, you know, 10 boxes, 10 whatever, 10 pieces, I knew that it was labeled box number 1 of 10, and I shipped the stuff to myself at the production company. So it's box number 1, my name, makeup department, box number 1 of 10. And each box, I know what's in each box individually. I also know, you know, I photograph things as I pack them up, you know. So if I ship, you know, 3 trunks, I photograph the trunks so that I don't have to try to figure out what the trunks look like as I don't have to figure out what the trunks look like as I am,
No, Mariana, you know, that was something that I learned from you, was the packing of the trunks and the boxes and stuff, and then labeling them with, you know, box number 1 of whatever total number of boxes you had. And I will tell you, that is a long process. That takes a lot of time, especially if you're really packing up a lot of stuff. That takes a lot of time. Not saying that that's necessarily a bad thing. I mean, it's great to do it that way, because when I was returning back home from working on a show and packing up boxes, my box was lost.
Oh, it makes a huge difference, because when your stuff gets lost, what are you going to do if you don't know what's in it?
Absolutely.
How do you file a claim?
Absolutely.
Now you said that one of the most important things is make sure that everything you're shipping is insured to the production company. You know, so if you're shipping
mm-hmm.
FedEx, you get that extra insurance.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you really have to know what you're shipping, because you get that extra insurance. Because that happened to me when I did Malcolm X, and 2 of my trunks got broken by UPS. I had a $5,000 claim.
Wow.
But I knew everything that was in each box that got lost. You know, trunk number 3, I knew exactly what was in trunk number 3 because it was all listed. Everything was listed. And even my own personal suitcases, when I packed them, I photographed
mm-hmm.
them, because, you know, suitcases still look alike after a while. So when you file a claim at the airport and you're trying to describe, I have a black suitcase, you don't even have to describe anything. Just show them a photograph.
Right.
You don't have to try to figure it out. And you know, and a lot of times is when you're trying to figure things out, it becomes very difficult. So I would always photograph them. And now with digital cameras, you have no excuse. With your cell phones, you have no excuse. You can just photograph them. And you have it right there. You just show them, this is what it looks like. And this is how much it costs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's real important. One of the biggest things in traveling, though, is making sure that your deal memo is intact.
Right.
So I find that making sure from the beginning that your deal memo covers a lot of the stuff. So I make sure that everything from my flight to my accommodations to my per diem, my salary, if you're going out the country, you know, if you're going to Canada, there's a union. So then you have to make sure that your dues are paid in to whatever local, East Coast or West Coast local that you belong to.
Mm-hmm.
Because if not, they will take that money out in Canada for the IA in Canada.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you have to make sure that you're not paying IA, you know, it's not IA
right.
in Canada and IA in America
right.
too. So you got to make sure that your health and welfare benefits are going to the proper place. It's real important. And you also have to double check your paycheck. I can't even stress
yeah.
that enough, because you have to understand where every single dime that's being deducted, how it's accounted for. And if you don't understand it, you need to go to an accountant and have them explain to you this line, this line, this line, this line, this line, all the way through. Because when I went through my paycheck, things were being deducted, and I'm like, well, what's this for? What's that for? No, 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 no. Let's correct this. So by the time you finish, all those little pennies here and there, you might have an extra $200 or $300 being pulled out of your paycheck every single week.
Mm-hmm.
So you really have to make sure that you understand each line item and how it's accounted for. Real important. I mean, it's very, very, very different working out the country. Very, very different. So, and then if you take a place like Cairo, Egypt, that's a whole different scenario. Whole different scenario. Because not only do you have a language barrier, but you have a whole different cultural barrier. So work in some place like that. I mean, you have to understand the customs of the country. You have to be respectful of the customs of the country. You know, you need to understand a little bit and how things work and how things function. So that unto itself was a whole different experience for me too.
And then, I mean, we haven't even talked about like currency differences and
you want your per diem in the currency of the country and make it a little bit easier for you.
That's a good idea.
And make it a little bit easier for you. And then it depends on how production's paying you. If it's a union show, then you know it's one thing. But if it's a non-union show, I always like my money wired home. Because mm-hmm. if you're out of the country for 2-3 months and they're giving you paychecks, you got to get it home, you know?
Right.
So, because the check's only good for 90 days.
Right.
So I like my money wired home.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know when I work.
And you do that right away?
Hmm?
You do that right away? Like for instance, you get paid 1 week, you have it wired right then? Or do you wait until
you have them? You have the production automatically deposited for you, you know. But you have to set all that up before you go.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
You have to set everything up before you go. You have to find out how they're paying you. Do you see? So
mm-hmm.
I always request in my deal memo, if I'm going out of the country, I don't want to be paid in pesos. You know what I'm saying? I always request
right.
in my deal memo, to be paid in U.S. currency unless otherwise stipulated.
Right.
So when you work my money out, you're working it out in U.S. currency. You're not working it out in pesos.
Right, right.
It's very, very important. Don't take it for granted. And, again, a lot of this really, you really have to pay attention to, especially when it's a non-union show. You really have to make sure that you understand where you're staying. I mean, that your accommodations are appropriate, that you have a means of getting around, and, again, you have a way of communicating with your family back home. All of those are things that you kind of take for granted because you have a cell phone, but you go out of the country and you put that cell phone on and you get roaming charges. The roaming charges are 10 times more than the actual phone call.
Right.
So you really have to understand all those things that you take for granted at home don't work the same way when you get in the plane and leave America.
Exactly.
You know, so you have to spend that time, again, making sure that your deal memo covers quite a bit because I've worked where I've, you know, asked production permission to really to have access to a phone so that I can call, you know, my family and stuff or, you know, so get your local number, you know what I mean, or a SIM
right.
card or something that will
right.
allow you to do this.
Right.
You know,
I mean, so there are a lot of things that have to be considered before you actually leave the country when you're, you know, doing a job in another country.
There's a whole lot of stuff. It's not, I'm excited because I'm going here on a plane to do a job such and such a place. As exciting, as wonderful as it sounds, you have to know how you're getting there, how you're getting home.
Right.
You know, your passport, you know, let's talk about passport for a minute. You have to have. And a lot of people, it's amazing how many people don't have passports. And you know, I mean, being foreign born, I guess it's a norm for me to make sure that my passport is in order, you see. But a lot of people don't have passports. Most Americans take it for granted. And most Americans have never left America.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I say for anybody who's in this industry, one of the most important things is to really – if you don't have a passport, do it now that it's not necessary. You know, don't
right.
wait until you get a job to then try to figure out how to get a passport. Do it now that it's not necessary, where it's also cost-effective for you because it takes quite a while to get a passport.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things that you want. You want to make sure you have a passport. When you leave the United States, you also have to have a visa. You can't just, you know, production can't just take you to another country and you work without a visa. You have to have a visa to enter the country, and you have to have a work permit.
Mm-hmm.
Real important. And production, that's the production company's responsibility. Is you have to have a visa and a work permit.
Okay, so that's the responsibility of the production company.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You have to have a visa and a work permit. That's real important. I didn't hear
you. Has there ever been a situation where production didn't have that, didn't have those available, and no one was able to travel? Or, like, where is it discovered that you don't have the visa and work permit?
They're not going to let you in the country.
Okay.
They will stop you because when you enter a foreign country, first you clear immigration before you can even get in. So if your documentation is not in order, you can't even get into the country.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, for example, Canada, my passport I was ready, all my papers from production company, a letter stating that I was going to be working in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
I also had my visa and my work permit. So as soon as I hit immigration, all my documentation, the first thing they say, why are you here?
Right.
But then I had documentation showing that this is what I was going to be doing. Do you see?
Right.
Now, I had my husband and child with me, and my documentation, my visa also, and in my husband's passport, it was stamped that he will be traveling back and forth because his wife is working in the country.
Mm-hmm.
It also stated, in the event that my child was traveling back and forth, a letter of permission, giving him permission by me to take the kid in and out of the country.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't take a kid out of the country without permission from the other parent. So all of those are things that you kind of take for granted because you can go from state to state.
Mm-hmm.
With that, but if you've got a child, it all that stuff has to be in order because your kid is not going to be able to travel to visit you if there's not documentation saying it's okay.
Right.
You know, I'm looking for a deal memo to reference to so that I can tell you some of the things that I might be missing. Let's see, what else is there? I mean, that's a huge part in traveling out of the country. Huh? What? I didn't hear you.
I said, you already told us a lot. So I'm thinking, what else could there be?
What?
I'm thinking, what else could there be? You already told us a lot.
Oh my God, there's so much. There's so much when you're working out of the country. It's just it's just really amazing because, you know, there's so much you take for granted. Oh my goodness, there's so much you just take for granted. Just going to the corner store to pick something up, you know.
Right.
It's just different. It's just different. It's understanding that the customs that you have at home in America don't work abroad. You just have to be really mindful and respectful of customs in other countries. I'm trying to think of your visa, your work permit. I knew what I was saying. I lost track. After you clear immigration, then you have to collect your luggage so that you can clear customs. And you know, clearing customs, again, that's a whole nother process because that's when one of the first things that they ask you is, what do you have to declare?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if your equipment is shipped prior to you, you usually have nothing to declare. And when they say declare, they want to make sure that you're not bringing in, you're allowed a certain amount of alcohol, you're allowed to bring in X you know, certain things. You're allowed to bring a certain amount of stuff, but they want to make sure that you're not bringing in anything to try to sell, especially electronic items. That's like the biggest thing. Electronic items are a very, very big thing. That's
right.
Sold black market. So they always want to make sure that you're not doing any of that stuff. So most of the time it's nothing to declare, and the production company should brief you on what happens, you know what I mean?
Right.
And when you go through, you always have to follow the signs, follow the lines and says. There's always a line for citizens of that country and for visitors and non-residents of that country. If you're visiting, you'll be a visitor non-resident, and you're going to follow that immigration path. It's usually a path that you follow. Once you collect your luggage, that's the other thing. You got to travel light, because when you get to another country, you might not necessarily find a sky cap to help you with your luggage, especially to clear customs and immigration. You have to get a car, get that luggage off the carousel, and find your way through immigration. So you got to drag all that stuff yourself. There's nobody to help you pull it through. So you're in for a rude awakening.
Right.
Because there's no sky cap to help you. So you got to make sure that you can carry your luggage. And you know, and you pack your luggage yourself, because you need to know what's in there. And, you know, if they spot check you, they're going to open everything and search everything. And you just have to be patient with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't rush or hurry them, because they will pull you over, literally. I mean, you know, they go through everything. They go through everything. You have to make sure that your documentation is ordered and that you've got the proper landing papers to visit.
Right. Right.
Because when you're on that plane, before you land, you fill out landing papers to visit the country. And it asks you again for your passport information, where your passport was issued, when it was issued, when it expires, your passport number, Then it asks you your purpose of your visit, the length of your stay, where you're staying. So that's another thing that you have to understand, is you have to get that information from the production office, an address to where you're staying. And why is that done? Because that's how they keep track of people coming in and out of the country.
Right.
And it's the same when you go someplace and then you're coming back into the United States. When you get on that plane, before you land, they give you landing papers back in the U.S. that says, where have you been on this visit and how long were you there? Your flight information, the flight number, passport information. You have to fill that out. And are you bringing, what are you bringing back with you? So you go over to Turkey to work, you know, and you bring back $20,000 worth of stuff. They want to make sure that you don't have more in excess of $10,000 in cash on you, because it might be considered money laundering. They want to make sure that you don't have anything over a certain amount has to be declared and has to be done through the central bank of that country. Bring it back into the United States. They want to make sure that whatever you bought, so if you bought, you're allowed to bring in a certain amount as an American.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a permanent resident, you're allowed a certain amount too. So you have to know the dollar value. So everything you purchase, you have your receipts together. So everything you purchase, you know the dollar amount, and you put it down there, and you total everything up. If they ask you to show receipts, you have the receipts right with you. They're not in, you know, someplace else. So you keep all that documentation together. And if you have nothing to declare, if you didn't buy anything, nothing to declare.
Mm-hmm.
So it's real important.
Let me ask you. You know how, like, here in the U.S., when we're flying somewhere, we have to, as a makeup artist, we're very careful with, of course, everybody's limited to the liquids they can carry on, but what about when we carry makeup supplies, for instance, like, you know, tweezers and scissors and, you know, you were speaking about electronics earlier. You know, what about, for instance, if we're carrying out airbrush compressors and scissors and tweezers, are there any limitations on that kind of stuff?
Well, I don't hand carry anything like that. I put it all in the suitcases, first of all. If you're going out the country working, that's all listed on your manifest.
Under what now?
On your manifest, the manifesto.
Manifest. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's all listed on the manifesto. And none of it is list, you know what I mean? And
mm-hmm.
I don't even bother. Why put yourself through the hassle?
Right.
Mm-hmm. We're trying to carry that stuff onto a plane anymore? It's not even worth it?
Right.
You know what I mean? It's not worth it. I pack my equipment really well, and I send it all through. And, you know, it's like, what are you going to do? It's not worth the hassle, and it's just not even worth it. You know, I pack everything properly, and I send it through.
And you also talk about shipping stuff beforehand.
You ship as much as you possibly can. That's why it's important for, you know, the production secretary, production coordinator, they usually get to the location and scout the place before you, plus the location manager knows what's going on. That's real important. They usually know what's going on. So literally, I have dialogue with them before I do anything else.
Uh-huh.
So that I know and understand. I always find out the customs of the country. I find out all those things up front. You want to make sure that you don't take it for granted. Trust me, you'll be in for a rude awakening. Totally rude awakening.
Have you had any bad experiences on traveling abroad? Besides losing, you know.
Bad experiences. No, the only weird experience I had was going to Canada. It's like, I've worked in Canada twice. I worked in Montreal. And I worked in Toronto, and in Toronto, my husband was with me, and right in front of me, they just said to him, you know, they said to me, right in front of him, is he the father of your child? Just like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
wow.
I was like, excuse me, is he the father of your child? Because, you know, as not, I couldn't take Gregoire with me.
Really?
Oh, yeah, you cannot travel without a letter of permission for your child. Cannot. Crucial. Yeah. I'm telling you, there are a lot of things that people take for granted. And when you don't understand, you know, you're in for a rude awakening. You got to understand how things work. And like I said, a lot of people have not traveled. You know, when I in my classes, when I talk to students, it's amazing how many of them don't have passports. You know, they don't have passports. They've never gotten on a plane. In that sense, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's like you can't take it for granted that they have. They've never gotten on a plane. They don't know this stuff.
Well, I think nowadays you may just want to go ahead and get that passport so that if the opportunity presents itself, that's one less thing you have to worry about.
It's so important because it takes time, and if you have to expedite the passport,
right.
Trust me, you have
money.
To pay a whole lot of more money.
That's right.
You know, you have to pay a whole lot of more money. I mean, even traveling here in the U.S. was you know, like, for example, I know going from even just as simple as Southern California to Northern California, you know, choosing the hotel, choosing where I was going to stay, apartment over hotel, okay? So I was there for 4 months, so I wanted an apartment. So I get a whole list of apartments, and you don't know where the production office really, so you kind of find something within proximity of the production office, like within 30 minutes of the production office. When I arrived in Northern California, I mean, literally, you know, I had a rental car, but I had to rent furniture to furnish a two-bedroom apartment. I pretty much had to sign a lease, open dialogue with a rental company, you know, sign the lease, you know, put in the telephone, you know, set up house. Set up house, and then before I left, I had to make sure all the furniture is returned, you know, turn on the water, turn on the electric, turn on the gas, put in the telephone, all of those things, you know, find out where the closest supermarket is, you know, where the library is, just where town is,
You know, when I arrived, when they took me to when I got off the plane, they took me to the production office. I had a rental car, and the transportation captain pretty much said to me, "Okay, so here are the keys to your car. Match it to the car in the parking lot." Had to go out and check the roads and find the car, and then said, "Then she says your house is that way, and look on the map and try to figure out how to get there." You know, so it's a lot. So you have to be pretty much an organized person and a person who is not scared to be in a new environment and literally
right.
find everything from scratch.
Right.
And Marietta, and also on top of that, still do makeup for your show.
Oh, God, yeah. And find your way around. I mean, you know, it takes a lot. You know, luggage. Now you want luggage that is going to survive. So I invested in really great luggage
mm-hmm.
to last me to travel. You know what I mean? So that every trip I took, I didn't have to go and buy a whole new suitcase.
Right.
So I invested in really good luggage. There's a great place in LA called 87R Luggage. It's one of the best places to me to buy luggage. Sturdy, you know, H7R.
Okay.
87R Luggage, and what's great about it is that, you know, it's a place that rock and roll, that caters to rock and roll. So, you know, you get a suit, luggage that can hold up.
Right.
it's a great place, right off of Washington and La Brea. It's a great place. All the roadies use it. It's a wonderful place, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful place, yeah. You know, so that's, you know, that's kind of the you know. Oh, sorry about that. That's the kind of stuff that I like, you know.
Yeah.
Cool.
You know that.
And I'm gonna put the address and phone number and all that good stuff for 87R in the chat room for anyone
yeah,
who's interested.
Yeah, it's 87R Luggage. You know, it's, you know, people take so much for granted. But, you know, when you go someplace that's out of the U.S., you want, you know, your toiletries, your prescriptions. I don't rely on saying I'm going to get it when I get there. I take enough to last me the time I'm going. Because the worst thing you want is to run out of things that you really need. And you can't find a place to get them, or there's a language barrier, and you can't figure it out.
Right.
You know, so, or they cost 10 times as much, because you have to remember, it might be something that's imported. Like, I know, when I went to Cairo, this was, like, so silly, and I never even thought about it. Here I was in Cairo, and went out for drinks, me and a friend, and something as simple. When the bill came, I had cognac. When the bill came, I had two cognacs. When the bill came, mine was $80. And my friend's was like $11. And I thought, something is wrong here. 80 U.S. bucks, mind you, okay? And I thought, what is this? Ha-ha. I found out. The cognac's imported.
Oh, God.
My friends drink to a local. So you're paying all that duty that they had to pay to bring that stuff into the country.
So the important lesson here is the next time you go out and you have a drink, make sure you ask first.
Ask for the local drink. Don't get the imported stuff. Note to self, local drinks always over the imported stuff. I mean, because, and you know, so even things like a sanitary napkin, you go out there and then you realize you're paying $20 for a little mini pack that costs $2 here.
Right.
Something like chewing gum. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
So you don't, the things that you like, you take with you. Because they can end up costing you a pretty penny.
Mm-hmm.
So don't just take it for granted. Or a big bar of soap, you might not be able to find it anyplace. you know, because we take that for granted. So there's a lot. I've learned. I always pack enough when I'm going. I pack, and I ship all that stuff. I ship all of that stuff, you know. And then you got to come back in the U.S. So when you're coming back in the U.S., you got to know what you're entitled to. You got to know what you're bringing back in, because what you bring in, you have to declare, and you might have to pay duty on it.
Mm-hmm.
You might have to pay duty on it. So you have to be prepared. You have to really understand and do a little bit of research. You know? So if you're going out of the country, you got to find out, you know. Oh, before I forget, one of the things that you want to walk with is the production number. Production office number, because if you get there and there's nobody to pick you up, you need to know what to do. So you need a production office number and a production address. You also need to walk with the number for the local American embassy in that country.
Mm-hmm.
You also need the number to the local American Express office in that country. Because those are the places that can help you if you run into a jam.
Yeah.
Very, very important. You really need to understand those things. If you're going to a country that you don't speak the language, buy Fedora's travel book on that country with the translations. Always know the basic things, like where there's, you know, where's the bathroom, where's a taxi, you know, how to buy food. A couple of basic things, a couple of key phrases that you can put, that you know the translation for, the interpretation for, you know what I mean? You should have a couple of key phrases written down or highlighted in that book that can help you out in the event of an emergency. Also, make sure, especially for the non-union show, that you have, if you don't have insurance, get some kind of insurance for travel. You always take that trip insurance on the flight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they're booking your flight, get that trip, because so that you can have some kind of coverage in the event that there's a problem. You pick up some kind of bug, you know. I mean, you really want to make sure those things, you know. A lot of things that you don't think about, you want to think about going out of the country. Don't just take everything for granted. Also, make sure if there's any shots and stuff that you have to get, that the production company is going to cover those shots before you leave.
All right.
If they tell you you have to have malaria shots and stuff, well, I think that you should make sure that they cover that and that stuff, you know, because that's not a normal everyday thing for you. Or if you have to take those malaria pills, make sure that you take all those things before you go. So, you know, you have to really sit down and really think about everything. And don't just be excited to just get on a plane. You got to know all of this information.
Right.
You know, also you got to know the currency of the country you're going into and know what's the difference in the American dollar and the currency. You want to know the exchange rate and stuff. So that you at least understand, if you're going to buy anything, you at least understand what the difference is, and know how you're spending your money so that you don't get ripped off. So there's quite a bit about working in different places and stuff. Even working in the U.S., I mean, I've gone to places. I've gone to, you know, like working on the Eastern Shore of Maryland and you know, working on the Eastern Shore of Maryland, it's like going to small town USA.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing, and you know, where the, a lot of people don't like outsiders, and knowing a little bit more about the area first before you go there, so that you're not rudely awakened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you're a hairdresser, you know, you can't just pack hairsprays and explosive things. A lot of hairsprays are explosive. You just can't pack those things, or brush cleaner, alcohol. You just can't pack those things and send them off for FedEx to pick up and stuff. You have, those things need to be packed specially. They usually pack with something that looks like rat turds, just in the event that anything spills, or, you know, for protection. So, you know, you always let the production office know that you're shipping aerosols and brush cleaners and things like that so that they can be packed specially.
Right.
Because they're explosive and shipped off, you know, a certain way. So it makes a huge difference, you know. If you're packing your suitcases, you know, they can't be over 50 pounds. So I say, you know, make sure that it's about 45 pounds, but
right.
not 50, so that you have a little room for leverage. And if you don't have a scale, you might want to get a scale so that you weigh your suitcase so that you know. The worst thing is to get to the airport and literally have to unpack.
Right.
Oh, it's so miserable. It's so miserable. So I always keep like an extra tote bag that can be, you know, a collapsible tote bag that can be shipped through so that in the event you have over, you can pull it out and stick it in there and send it through too as a piece of luggage.
Right.
You know, you also want to be able to tip. Yes, I keep my tipping money separate. Whenever I'm traveling, I literally get like 20s broken down into singles and fives. I usually tip like $2 to $3 a bag.
Mm-hmm.
So that I have my tip money sorted out. I have everything organized, so I'm not trying to dig through stuff when I get to the airport to try to figure it all out. My passport,
right.
I have a passport case that I travel with my passport, my work papers, visa papers, all the papers I need for immigration are all one place.
Right.
You know, so that you know where everything is. You have to be organized. It's like so that you understand, you know, and if they pull you over, you know, it's like, I know, like, coming back into the United States, you can't bring in fruit or vegetables or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
You can bring them in if they're peeled, but you can't bring in things with the skin. If you've been on a farm,
right,
you need to declare that. There are a lot of things you have to declare. You know, when they ask you those questionnaires on the back of the form, you have to fill that stuff out. So if you go on a farm, you know, they're going to scrape the soles of your shoe and put you in quarantine because chances are you're bringing back bugs in the country. That's the whole thing. They want to make sure you're not bringing back any bugs or any contagious diseases and things like that, or you haven't been exposed to all these kind of things. So when you're on a farm, you're exposed to a whole lot more stuff. It's not worth it to try to bring these things back into the country, no matter how pretty the plant is and things like that. It's not worth it, you know. It's like they detain you. For all these things. They detain you for a lot of stuff, you know. And sometimes it's just a random pick. Also, the dogs sniff your luggage before you get on the plane. You know, for those people who have never traveled, the dogs sniff your luggage. When you're coming through customs, when you're walking from immigration into customs, you're being watched all the time. People don't realize it, but you're being watched constantly. They know who you are. They know what you've got. You also be an X-ray constantly. They see everything.
Oh.
They see if you're fidgety, all that kind of stuff. So people who have never been in and out of the country, they don't realize, you know, what they have to go through and stuff, you know. You know, and you got to make sure that your papers are in order. If you travel on a green card, you got to make sure that your green card, because I think you can only stay out of the country 6 months. So if you are on a green card, you got to make sure that your green card is, you know, in shape. And if you're going out the country on a green card on a project that's 6 months, you got to be back in the United States before that 6 months is up. So these are the things that you have to stay on top of and all your immigration rules and regulations. But most people who are non-U.S. pretty much stay on top of all of those things. It's most of you Americans who have never traveled don't really know a lot of these things.
Right.
But most foreigners tend to stay on top of those things. So,
well,
wow.
I guess we will all learn by experience, you know, when there's something that we don't have when we travel out of the country to work.
Let me
tell
you, there's some things you don't
want
to learn by
way.
Experience. You don't
well,
want
yeah,
to.
I know, but there's situations where people will have to learn by experience, but, you know, I don't ever want to have to go through that.
Oh, let me tell you, I've been pulled over by immigration. I was in Jamaica for almost about 3 months. In immigration, I had a Barbados passport and a U.S. passport on me. It's illegal to have two valid passports in the United States. I had both. I handed the customs person. She asked for my passport. It wasn't even immigration; it was customs. And I handed her a U.S. passport, and she took my pocketbook and shook everything out of my pocketbook, everything. And I had a big gourd that she was curious about that I got in Jamaica, a huge gourd. And she took that thing, turned it upside down. It was like shaking a cookie jar. Shook it and shook it and shook it, and everything came out of it. And it took me like hours to pack that thing. And she opened everything I had in there, and in about three envelopes was my Barbados passport. And she found it and took it out. And she said, "What is this?" And she called over immigration. And I was panicking because I was like, oh, my God. I know they're going to take immigration. They're going to arrest me. And they're going to send me to the pound in Inglewood. And if you've never been to a pound where they detain people, let me tell you, they treat you worse than a common criminal. And I kept thinking, and this was back when, you know, everybody had an answering machine. Everybody that I call, when I get that one phone call, I'm going to get an answering machine. So I panicked. I mean, it was just a nightmare for me going through my head. And I looked at her. I said, "You know what? I did not know. This is a mistake. I promise I will cut this passport in a gazillion pieces and never, ever use it again." Mm-hmm. And immigration walked away from her and said, "You're on your own," you know. So it was just me and this customs woman. And she was just determined to go after me. And I was like, "Lord, have mercy. Please, dear Lord, let a miracle happen and let this woman let me go." I said, "I have been out the country for almost 3 months. I am exhausted. I just need to get home. I will burn this passport. I will never use it again." You know, I was like, I pleaded and pleaded until she finally said, "Okay, go. Just go." I was like, oh, my God. So, note to self, I've never traveled with a Barbadian passport since then. Never. That was it. I didn't need anything else. So I learned. Let me tell you.
You were thinking about that one phone call and it was going to be an answering machine.
Oh, yeah. I knew I was going to get every answering machine in Los Angeles. I was never going to get a person. I thought, oh, God. Oh, my goodness gracious. This is crazy.
So wait. So when you were traveling back, were you working there alone, you know, by yourself for 3 months, or were you working on a show there for 3 months?
I was working on a show. I was there for almost three months working on a show.
Did you have any of your, coworkers there with you?
They had already cleared.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So they had cleared. They were outside waiting for me to come out. And they couldn't figure out what was taking so long. So when they came back in, they saw what was taking so long, that she kind of had me detained.
Right.
You know? So it was just annoying.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, quite an experience.
It almost makes you not want to work out of the country on a big show.
It does, but and then again, the accommodations that you take for granted are different. Like going to Japan was different for me. You know, going to Japan was real different. It's like, first of all, I read 3 books on the plane, and I still had like 8 hours to go. You know, I did all the twitching that I could twitch, and, you know, I'm claustrophobic. So I was like, oh, God, get me off this flight. You know, but then when I got to Japan, you know, and that's the other thing is appreciating other customs. You know, when I got to Japan, it was like, hey, whatever you guys eat for breakfast, I'll try that. Whatever you eat for dinner, I'll try that too. So I was very open. And I find that Americans in general are not as open to try things because they want the McDonald's or the Burger King, the things that they're familiar with, and they're not as open to. So you got to be a little open to the country and their customs and to the foods and be a little bit adventurous, and, you know, and don't, like, you know, lock it off. Be open to trying new things. And, you know, I had a great time in Japan because they embraced me because I embraced their customs. I tried it. If I didn't like it, I didn't like it. But I tried it at least.
Right.
You know, so you have to be open and you have to respect the customs and you have to really, you know, I I had an interpreter and I did very well there, actually. They treated me like a queen, to be perfectly honest. They really did. You know, so yeah, you have to be open to you know, I've worked in Hawaii, but that's U.S., you know. You know, so you have to be open and be appreciative of whatever there is to offer and don't shut your mind off before you start, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that, again, that makes the makes the whole thing a much more enjoyable the more open you are.
Right.
As opposed to having preconceived notions, just be open and, you know, and just really just be prepared for whatever shows up, you know?
Right.
Well, to roll with the flow kind of thing.
Wow. Well, ladies, we have officially run out of time. This is too great of a conversation. I know we definitely have a starting point. I know everyone should have been taking notes because I know I was. It's a lot to think about. But at least now we have, you know, we have some information. If we're able to get a call and say, you know, here's a new project, we want you to work on it. If we accept that project, at least now we have a starting point where we can say, okay, I need to organize my thoughts. I need to organize my life. I need to organize all of this packing and just really consider a lot of things before just throwing stuff in a bag and think I'm going to go fly off and have a great time. You know, it's a lot to think about. But like you said, Marietta, one of the key things is to organize, to be organized. You know, and if you have everything, I feel like if you have, you're organized and have everything in place, that's less for you to, you know, to worry about when you do travel internationally.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Makes a huge difference.
Hopefully, you'll have time to organize everything. I'm, you know, I didn't hear you say anything about it, Marietta. Like you had, you got a call for a job and you didn't have that much time to prepare. Seems like you would have to have. To go somewhere out of the country for 4 months, you would have to have some kind of time to kind of get it all together.
Well, you know what? When I got called when I did Fear Game with Cindy Crawford, I had a 3-month-old baby that I was breastfeeding. I got called on a Wednesday morning to come to Florida. Friday morning, which is 2 days later, I was on an 8 o'clock flight to Miami.
Oh, okay. Wow.
with a brand-new baby and no nanny. That I was breastfeeding.
Wow.
Okay? So, you don't always have time.
Gotcha.
But I mentally organized myself, and then I wrote everything down, and, you know, I'm the kind of person that I will do all my laundry first before I try to pack. I will iron all my laundry before I pack it, too. Like
mm-hmm.
I said, I got issues. You know, but that's how you do it. So you don't always have enough time.
Right.
That's why in doing this business, it's a really good idea to get organized.
Right.
It's a work in progress. I hope you guys learned something. So,
oh my God, yeah, I'm thinking about it as you're talking. It's almost like one of Suzanne's segments. Like you can't really respond; you just have to listen, take note.
You know that
when it comes up again, you know something will stick. That was for you.
I mean, how do you guys pack back and forth? How do you guys do it?
The best way I can.
You know, honestly, Marion, I will have to say, I don't have to say for myself. This is Janice. I'll have to say for myself. I do try to sometimes, when time permits, to make a list and kind of think about what I want to do as far as packing for my clothes, packing for my kit, and all the other little things. I don't have, you know, children, so that's something I don't have to worry about, or I'm not married or anything like that. But, you know, my bills and, you know, just trying to remember everything. So I do try to often write a list. Sometimes I'll write a list and may not necessarily look at it again.
But you see, once you commit it to paper, it commits it
mm-hmm.
to your brain.
Right.
And that's the most important thing.
Something that I've started doing was like keeping a list of like any of the bills that you pay on a monthly basis or on a quarterly basis. Just keep, you know, keep a list of them all. Keep like the phone numbers to those companies, the account numbers for those accounts, like if it's a credit card or what have you, or even if it's, you know, a power bill or something, keeping the account numbers, the phone numbers to contact those people, and keeping that list together. So if for some reason, you know, you travel out of the state or out of the country or wherever, you have that information with you to travel with, so that if you're, you know, sitting in your hotel room or your apartment or whatever somewhere, and you're going to be away for 2 to 3 months, you have it. So even if you forget, oh, I didn't bring that bill with me, but you have this sheet that tells you, you know, every month I pay this bill or every quarter I pay this bill.
One of the big things is you can, is I suggest now with the internet, set yourself up so that you can do bill pay.
Right. Yeah. Set yourself up so you can do bill pay.
You know, I also have it set up on the websites of all the bills that I have to pay. So I can go to, if I don't want to do bill pay, I go onto their website and I have it set up that I can go in.
Right.
But like you said, I have a list of every single bill that I pay every month.
Right.
So I go through that list every month at the beginning of the month, and I check off how I pay it when I pay it. And I just go through, boom, 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 boom. So in 10 minutes, I've paid everything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you have to do that, because when you're gone for 4 months on location, you have your home to maintain, so you still got to take care of that stuff at home and where you are. So I do that, plus you got to make sure that somebody is, I put all my lights on automatic, so not so that each light in the house comes on at exactly the same time, so that they're staggered, because you want it to look like activity. I also have somebody come and move my car or drive their car in and out, park it for an hour or so, go in the house, turn on the TV. I do it so that the TV can come on, things like that, because you want activity. Somebody come and pick that mail up and move it from around and send your mail to you when you're on a long location. Because if there's no activity at your house, it sets up to say, hey, guys, I'm not home. You can come in now.
Exactly.
So you still got to take care of home. So you have to make sure that those things are covered too.
Absolutely.
Exactly. So I make sure that all that's happening. I have somebody, you know, I would have, you know, my brother drive to the house, you know, and pull in the driveway so they see activity. So nobody can really kind of look at a pattern, because there is no pattern.
Exactly.
And that's really important.
Think about. Those are things you have to think about. So, you know, I just suggest people to start thinking about those things now, putting things in place now.
Get so timers. Get timers.
Yeah.
Get really good timers out, you know.
So if you get an opportunity, you know, that comes up suddenly, you know, you don't have to turn anything down, because you're just about there. You're just about ready.
You should always be ready to go, because that's the nature of this business.
Yeah. Yep.
That's the nature of this business. So you should always be ready to go. Anybody can call me right now, and I could be packed and ready to go in no time, because I go through my dresser drawers once a month, and I organize everything. I organize my closet so that everything goes, all the hangers go the same direction, all the colors together. I mean, everything's organized. All my shoes, I can look. So I literally pack, but I go, okay, checklist, boom. Pants, boom. Blouses, boom. Sweaters, boom. Shoes, boom, underwear. I go through every single thing, and that's how I pack all the time. So that I don't have to try to figure it out. But like I said, I got issues. I know I do. So, hey.
You are funny.
You know, I know I do. I can't help it. You know, even in my house.
But
what?
I bet you your issues help you more than they hurt you.
Oh, they helped me considerably. I mean, even when I had a nanny for my kid was really young, I mean, if you open my kitchen cabinets, they were all labeled. They were all labeled. And I made lists of everything. I always made a list of emergency numbers for my nanny. And I've hired a nanny sight unseen. I've rented places sight unseen. My nanny sight unseen, she didn't have to think about anything. I had an emergency list of phone numbers so that she didn't have to worry about who to call. The numbers were all there so that you can reach them. She knew who she was calling. She didn't drive, so one of the first things that I did was I made sure that I knew how long it would take a cab to get to my apartment in Canada or in Mississippi, wherever I was. I always made sure I knew the cab company, how long approximately, the closest hospital with pediatric facilities to deal with a child. That's really important. I did all the thinking for her. I knew when I hired her, she didn't have CPR. As soon as I arrived in Canada, I sent her to CPR classes. I knew the number. I listed the number for the Poison Control Center. All of those things were worked out. She never had to think about anything. I was very proactive, and I thought about everything for her.
Mm-hmm.
In the event of an emergency, she didn't have to think. All she had to do was react. And I've always traveled like that. I always made sure I knew where everything was. I got all that information from the production company up front, and I made a list. I sent that list, a copy of that list to my mother with a production office number and stuff. I sent one to my brother. So everybody knew everything. Everybody knew where I was. Also, if you're going out the country, you want to make sure that a good friend, family member, they know where you are. Too many things happen. So they know the name of the production company. They have the numbers of the production. Always make sure that somebody has that information. If you're hiring a nanny, take a copy of her passport. Take a copy of her green card. Take a copy of whatever identification she has. Take a photo of her. That's what I did. I always wanted to know who her family was, where she lived, and if she was sleeping with anybody, because if she was sleeping with anybody, is she bringing that person into my house when I'm gone? I made sure that I knew whatever childhood illnesses she had or didn't have. I spent $2,000 having my nanny checked out by my own physician.
Huh.
I tested her for hepatitis A, B, and C. For everything that there was you can think of, I made sure she had gonorrhea, syphilis. I made sure she had tests for all of these things. I paid for them out of my pocket because she was dealing with my young child in my home. I wanted to know family members visiting, because what happens a lot of times is family members coming to visit that might have something contagious. She goes home for the weekend. She's bringing that into my house.
Right.
You know, sanitary habits makes a big difference. Different countries have different customs. So you kind of want to follow closely what her sanitary habits are. Yeah, okay. I'm done there. All experiences that I've had.
Wow, we could go on and on.
Way too much information.
Yes, but good information nonetheless, because there are a lot of makeup artists out there who had children, so, and, you know, they need to know that, and that's something they really need to consider. You know, if they want to really go far in their careers, if traveling either here in the U.S. or out of the country is a part of them going far in their career, they need to know these things.
It's important. It's very important.
Very important. So, everybody,
you have more questions, hit Marietta up on Twitter or Facebook. And just, I think it's good for us to just be wise and think. And like Marietta said, stay ready. You know, you don't have to organize your closets or drawers the way Marietta does, but I feel like you need to be organized and always prepared. Always have a bag ready to go.
you know,
so you,
will
you
travel.
Know. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, if you get a call one day and 2 days later you're on an 8 a.m. flight, you have to be ready.
Yep.
So, good stuff, good stuff. Thank you so much, Marietta.
You're more than welcome. Anytime, my dears, anytime.
Thank you so much. And thank you, Cynthia, if you're still out there listening. Thank you for joining us with your packing tips. We really appreciate it. Thank you all for listening and joining us on Tuesday. We'll be back to Thursday next week. Yeah, next Thursday we'll be back to be talking our regular schedule. So join us then and stay posted to Facebook and Twitter, and you'll know who our next guest will be. So thank you all very much for listening, and have a good night.
Good night. Thank you, guys.
Okay,
you're welcome.
Thank you.